Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast that reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode number 661, and it is your review of Akira Kurosawa's The Lower Deaths. And, of course, it is Nerd Chicano here to host the show. Lots of wonderful co-host Brad, Young Yoda.
Sup, sup, everybody. Welcome to a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday? It's a Tuesday. Tuesday evening.
Live and early for our patrons over at patreon.com/thenerdcore, where you can get this episode live and early before anybody else gets to watch it on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Central Time by going over to www.patreon.com/thenerdcore and pledging to the $1 tier. At $1, you get this episode along with Thursday's episode live streamed to you and early ad-free, so that way we can hang out with each other. Just like Stacy is right now, just five away from that magical number. And sadly, we didn't choose like a horror film for that magical number, right? Fuck. We really should have thought that through, huh? We should have done like a horror. Well,
yeah. I mean, we could technically still do one.
Yeah, we still haven't, you know, we still. Yeah. But Brad, before we can get into the review, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, bro. Work today. Work went pretty quick today, so kind of thankful for that.
Yeah. Can't say the same for myself, but I'm here. Well, yesterday I had the chance to go watch Doom Part 2, and very satisfied with that. So I'm patiently waiting for you to maybe go see it soon, because I really want to do a review. I really want to do a review.
Like, yeah.
And, like, this is one where it's, like, I would like to do it soon. Because, holy fuck, I have a lot to say. Which actually reminds you, Brad, like, that reminds you that, what's it called? Doom Part 1 was released, like, day and date, right? That was COVID years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in COVID.
Yeah, where they released it on HBO Max and in the theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why we were able to do our review of it. That's
yep.
Like, yeah. Simpler times, right, Brad?
In some ways,
at least for what's it called? Those movies, some movies did actually lose a lot more money than, you know, some really needed the theatrical release, but I don't know.
I mean, and Dune, made a shit ton of money over the weekend. Yeah. Is there going to be a part three? There's a part three. He's already making a part three.
Well, the
script, or is it a different movie?
Okay, so part one and two are the first book.
Yeah.
There's a second book,
The
Messiah, which Denis Villeneuve has expressed interest in wanting to make. He wants to make it.
Okay.
There's a third book, though, called Children of Dune, which actually concludes the story of Paul Atreides, which Denis Villeneuve has not expressed any interest in wanting to do. He says he wants to do Dune Messiah, and that's it. So I'm not entirely sure what he's gonna do. Honestly, Brad, I think the check will convince a lot of people. The check always convinces.
I mean, that's how we've gotten a lot of directors make these superhero movies. Let's be real here.
But yes, part three would be Doom Messiah.
Okay.
Which, what's it called? Honestly, Brad, I think he's gonna get it.
Well, that's what I've been hearing. That's in his. He's got like four movies that he wants to work on, and that's one of them.
Yeah. I believe what was the budget on this, but I mean, right now it's almost made 200 mil at the box office.
Over the opening weekend. You know, a lot of movies don't do that anymore.
100 mil just internationally and 89 mil in domestic. I mean, guys, I think we're going to get Messiah. I'm pretty sure we're going to get Messiah.
You think David Lynch is just cursing?
No, David Lynch doesn't give a single fuck about this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. They asked him if he would watch, what's it called, Doom Part 1. And he said no. Because, what's it called, it would bring him too much pain.
I mean, that man went through a lot on the first movie.
Through hell and back, Brad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see this.
I don't blame him.
It's $189 million for a budget. So, I mean, $190 million. So times, you got to triple that, right? it will need to make 570 mil, basically around 500 mil to break.
That times three is counting like marketing and all that in, right?
Marketing, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, Brad. I think it'll make it. I mean, what did June Part 1 make?
That was COVID years too, though, yeah. Remember.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God. Holy shit, man. June Part 1 made 100 on a budget of 165 mil. It made 434.8 mil. Yeah.
There you go.
I think we're going to be fine, Brad.
Well, that was in COVID years too. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Brad, I'm pretty sure I think we're going to be okay. Yeah, I watched Doom Part 2 yesterday, and
you guys couldn't do that for like Blade Runner 2049?
Really? Y'all didn't show up for that one, right? Like, come on, guys.
I mean, they didn't show up for the original Blade Runner either. Let's
yeah. Man. And it sucks because, you know, like Denis Villeneuve even said, like, yeah, he says like he still thinks about that movie, and he's like, why did I do that? Like, and he says like he's never gonna touch another person's universe ever again. So
technically you did that with Dune.
Brad, that was not
I'm just
because Blade Runner isn't an adaptation, is it?
Is that on a book?
I'm doing all the fact checking on this episode.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's based on Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Oh.
By Philip K. Dick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I think he was fine to touch on Dune because
Let's be real. Blade Runner 2049 is fucking
dope. Awesome, bro. It's awesome.
It's one of my favorite movies.
I think that compared to Doom Part 1 and now Doom Part 2, I think that Blade Runner 2049 is a way more higher concept sci-fi film that I think the everyday movie going audiences were not ready for.
Same with Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the issue. That's a very high concept movie.
And whereas like something like Doom Part 1 and 2 had a really, really, really good cast that was going to sell that movie 100%.
Also, it's a war epic, basically.
And it's a sci-fi epic that I think was just a little more consumable than what's it called?
Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. And I think that once you watch it, Brad, I think that you'd agree with me. And I say it's quite more topical for the times that we're living in and the times that we've been living in for the last 20 years, especially as people who grew up during the Iraq War. So, yeah.
Both Iraq Wars.
Both Iraq Wars, yes. Yeah, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, Desert Storm, Desert Storm 2.
Yeah, yeah. So that said, I'm not doing a Dune 2 here. I am going to review. I'm going to do like a little mini shorts review
for just a little.
Yeah. What's it called? I'm going to do a little mini shorts review for YouTube channel and for TikTok and all that stuff. Just to have some little bit of coverage there for y'all until Brad can watch it, or I can set up something maybe with a review crew. I would really like for Brad to what's called be on this with me, and we can do it together. Cause this is one that is like, Brad, like I just go read my Letterboxd review if you want. That's what I'll say. But topical, especially with religious beats. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But with that said, Brad, this is one of my favorite months because this is the first time we're going to do it. We have finally decided March will be Akira Kurosawa month until we complete his filmography. And on the last month that we do his filmography and we completely finish it, I will make every single Patreon mini pod of his movies free for everybody. So I will upload them on Anchor. And we'll have a full, complete set of reviews. You guys would probably have to look them up because sadly, you know, Spotify, if you're listening to this, I would really appreciate if you could make playlists for podcasts on podcast pages. So we can actually make an Akira Kurosawa playlist for everybody to listen to every single Akira Kurosawa review we've done.
But check out YouTube, because we can do that on YouTube.
Yeah, but sadly, a lot of those are... Brad, I don't have the files. Yeah.
We don't have the audio files? We just upload the audio.
I think I might be able to, what's it called, download them from Patreon. I need to check.
Yeah.
But yeah. But that's something more down the line that I will look into. But
we still got...
like a lot more. Well, not a lot more.
Not a lot more. We still got like 6 movies.
No, Brad. What we got like out? No, we got 16 or something like that.
I don't think we.
Brad, I'm 16. I'm 21 of 32 films. Oh, okay. 9, and that's what's it called? 20 now, because one is one that I've already watched is Dreams that we then reviewed. So 20. We have 12 films, and remember, one of them is that first propaganda film that was never released.
So we're gonna have like 8 or 9. After so we have this month.
19 films, Brad, that we need to get through.
Okay.
Yeah. But
was me?
Yeah. And like I've said, for those of you who don't know, what's it called? On that last Kurosawa month, we will do Sanshiro Sagata 1 and 2, and we'll do what's it called? Madadayo and Rhapsody in August. It'll be the first two and the last two films he ever made. So
which I have seen Madadayo.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one.
I've never seen what's it called, any of those last ones. And I'm keeping it that way.
I really like that one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a fun one. Yeah. You wouldn't think that with the topic of it, it'd be fun, but it's a fun one.
Yeah. So with that said, Spotify was kind of paying pennies to have pennies on it. Yeah. But with that said, we're starting off the month. Brad won this coin toss, so we're starting it off with the lower defs. And with that said, let's go ahead and get into it, Brad, if you're ready.
I mean, I'm ready. No spoiler warning, because 1957.
Deal with it.
I mean, you should have watched this already.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this a little different, because Criterion has a little bit topical in a way, but it doesn't have much. Wikipedia's kind of shit on this.
Wikipedia has a sentence.
Yeah. I'm gonna read, actually, Rotten Tomatoes has a good, you know, few sentences on it. So I'll read that, and then I'll read the Wikipedia. And if you want me to read the Criterion part, because there was another filmmaker who made a movie based on, I think this is a play.
It's a play by Gorky.
Yeah. Coming from Rotten Tomatoes, of all places, movie info. Residents of a rundown boarding house in 19th century Japan, including a mysterious old man, Okuzen Hidari, and an aging actor, Kamatari Fujiwara, get drawn into a love triangle that turns violent. When amoral thief Tsutokichi Toshiro Mifune breaks off his affair with landlady Usugi Isuzu Yamada to romance her younger sister, Ukayu Kyoko Kagawa, Usugi extracts her revenge by revealing her infidelity to her jealous husband, Genjiro Nakamura. And here's the Wikipedia. The Lower Depths is a 1957 Japanese film directed by Akira Kurosawa. The screenplay by Hideo Uguni and Akira Kurosawa, based on the 1902 play The Lower Depths by Maxim Gorky. The setting was changed for the film from late 19th century Russia to Edo period Japan. Which he happens to do a lot with it. So directed by Akira Kurosawa, produced by Akira Kurosawa, cinematography Kazuo Yamasaki, edited by Akira Kurosawa, music by Masaru Sato, production company Toho, running time 124 minutes. I have no box office because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad, if I'm correct, this is the first film he does like a straight like adaptation of. He does an adaptation of
a
like
novel or a book.
Well, not a novel, but I mean like Soviet, you know, literature, art,
Yeah, right? I mean, we only had one other in our watching instance of that.
Yeah, which was what's it called? Dostoevsky's The Bad Sleep with The Bad Sleep Well, right?
Okay, that one. No, what about Dursu?
Which one was it?
Was it Dursu?
No, no, Dersu, no. No, I mean, as in work, he's like doing, well, actually, wait, is Dersu? Dersu was the Russian literature, right? Because it was like a memoir or something?
Dersu Uzala.
Damn, guys, we're doing great out here, man.
So
that was when I asked probing questions. I need to stop asking probing questions, guys. Because Sagata, Shinshiro Sagata isn't like an adaptation of anything. It's just like, yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, Dersu Uzala was a nanai, so he's an actual guy. Trapper and hunter, he worked as a guide for Vladimir Arseniev, who immortalized him in his 1923 book, Dersu Uzala. And yeah, that book was adapted in two feature films by Akira Kurosawa, being the better known.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at this, and, but I'm
yeah, sure Vladimir Arseniev was a Russian.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay, okay. Because what's it called? Yeah, this was yeah, I think this is his first time he actually like adapts Russian like Russian art in general, because he doesn't he does Dostoevsky later into his career.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And wait, is the idiot isn't what's it called? No, yeah, the idiot's his first one. It's the 1951. Because that's based on Dostoevsky. That's based on Dostoevsky.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course he does this shit, but yeah, this is one of his other ones. But I mean, if you know Kurosawa, you know how much he loved Shakespeare, he loved noir, and he loved Russian literature.
I mean, he loved Dostoevsky. He loved adapting novels.
Yeah. He loved Russian literature and Russian art. He absolutely adored Dostoevsky. He that was one of his favorite authors, and I would say this though, Brad. I like this movie. I just don't necessarily think that this type of work lends itself to a Kurosawa's style that well. This is really like straight up. If he's like he's straight up filming this exactly like a play. And sometimes it feels like the performances are exactly like a play. And I love the acting.
Like overly exaggerated, or how do you mean that?
No, it's the delivery of the lines. Mm. The delivery of the lines sometimes feel like it really is kind of like a play. And even though I think the acting is top notch, and I honestly, the acting is probably one of my favorite things about this movie. I don't think that this type of like film really lends itself to what Kurosawa is like, not known for, but how he like approaches filmmaking. And I still really like this movie though. I like it. I don't love it. Like I love all these other Kurosawa movies that I've seen where he's like adapted, you know, literature, and he's like really kind of like taken his spin on it. And but I do like him setting in the Edo period, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are your initial thoughts, Brad?
I don't disagree with you, Ro. I like this movie. I mean, it's Kurosawa. Kurosawa don't miss.
Yeah.
But is it my favorite from him? No. No. I love one-setting movies, which this basically is. It's a one-setting movie. But you're right. You lose on a lot of what we've come to love of Kurosawa, that natural lighting, the you know,
camera movements,
the film setting. He can't really do that with this type of film, and you're kind of left with the actors in it, and in a one room setting, they do well. They do the best they can with this. But from your other Kurosawas, you definitely miss out on what Kurosawa really made himself well known for, and. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate this movie. I don't love it. I mean, like, this is not in top 10. It's good. It's Kurosawa.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always going to get that. It's got Mifune. Like,
Mifune's fucking good in this, too. Yeah.
I blame Toho for part of this, just because there's no cleanup on this film.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got shaky camera movement here and there. You can tell this is early Kurosawa. Because you got a little bit of shaky camera in parts of it. You got grainy film. Toho, you need to fucking do something.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been letting this sit on the shelf for long enough. You can do some 4Ks up in here.
And not even just 4K, Brad, like simply like a restoration. So that way this, like, at least on a Blu-ray release, Brad, like this.
Looks... Yeah. Like even a 2K. I mean, yeah. Give me something. But yeah, this film needs a little help in that department. Story-wise, I actually quite enjoyed the story. Because you're showing society. It's called the lower depths. We're at the bottom of society where it's rock bottom for
and
all these
people. You rarely see Kurosawa get this cynical though. Like this is really like Kurosawa at his like most like showcasing really the ugliness of humans. Like it's like you don't see him really get to these points before. And that's why, like I told you, like I like this movie because like it's still stuff here that Kurosawa doesn't usually work with. I don't think the style lends itself to him as a like an artist.
I mean, I kind of agree with the ugliness of humans comment, but I think you have seen this ugliness before in Kurosawa films. It's in a different setting. Mm-hmm. It's usually with more, you know, royalty in a way, and like high functioning government in a way, those kind of evils of society and his samurai movies. This shows you when people are desperate.
Yeah.
When people are bottom of the barrel, when they have nothing left to lose.
I mean, that fucking door is like almost falling off. Like literally, it's like the dude is literally like being super careful moving it. Like everything here is like crumbling apart.
I mean, people are literally like paying to stay in this awful place because there's nowhere else to go. That's the basic gist of you get. And then you have an old man who comes out of nowhere and he's telling all these stories and just, you know, they're saying, oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. These places don't exist. And it's like, well, you know, what if they don't exist?
Yeah.
Does it make your life any better? Because from what we're seeing, it can't get any worse. So yeah, take the girl and run.
Yep.
And even then, when, you know, he finally decides to do that, the ugliness out of this world, out of these people come in and just swallow everything whole. And I mean, it's the bucket of crabs. It's like the one crab tries to get out and it's pulled back by all the other crabs.
Yeah. And then that's what I'm telling you. Like what's it called? I think like his thematically, what Kurosawa is trying to express is there. It's right there. But it's just, to me, I just felt that like the execution of it, it doesn't work for him. It doesn't work for him. And at times I feel like it's so restrained. And this might feel like out of left field, Brad, but like, to me, I feel like Ozu would do this really well because his films are very stationary.
What? Very stationary, very one setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where I feel like someone like Ozu does this really well because his films allow you to sit and like really dissect it in the moment in one setting. Whereas with Kurosawa, I've always felt like the beauty of his films is that you're getting it from multiple avenues. And I don't think that this type of like execution really lends itself to him.
Well, and cinematography wise, you don't get the same thing that like I've fallen in love with Kurosawa films, and there's no natural lighting. Like this is a very dark film. Like most of it, I really think it takes place at night. Like then that's just, I mean, but really it's called Lower Depths. It's a dark, tormented place.
Yeah. It makes sense for what he's trying to express. Right. But it's just like, man, it just feels so different.
It's funny. It's, you got good acting, you got a good storyline. I mean, all in all, it's a good movie, but we've seen so much of Kurosawa and we've come to love certain aspect of what Kurosawa does really well in his movies.
It's like,
and this just,
I Live in Fear. Like I Live in Fear is like, it's not something that Kurosawa makes a lot, but I thought that movie was so strong because of like, you're really dissecting everything about this post-war element from all these different people. And you, of course, you have an incredible leading performance in there.
I mean, and I believe it was Rashomon, where you literally get like different perspectives from all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, Yojimbo, you kind of get that with the different warring factions. You're right. This is a different film by Kurosawa that doesn't, hide in his ability. It's kind of just kind of got him closed off, and he's kind of stuck there.
Yeah, I did find it really interesting how like he brings up like religion in this. Like he brings up the Buddha, mm-hmm. and like they even ask the old guy like, "What's it called? Is the Buddha real?" And he goes, and the guy just laughs and he's like, "If he is, I suppose. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just like he's real for those who believe he's real."
I gotta admit, I liked I liked this movie specifically when that old guy kind of shows up because kind of added something to it. You had this outsider come in, and then they're basically like asking him, like, you know, like, oh, is that really out there? Like, what about this? What should I do? What do you think, Gramps? But then just like everything else in this place, he fails. He fails to help them when, like, mm-hmm. the instant, like, something, like, violence happens, he just runs out.
Yep.
And it's gone.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I can't say that I thought this was, you know, top of his career. I like it, and I think it's a interesting part of his career. I didn't feel, you know, I didn't feel something of it like his other ones do.
I mean, when you stack it up to Rashomon, Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, High and Low, Stray Dog. I mean, the list goes on. Like, you have so many more that played better to his abilities than this film.
But I'm even thinking, like, Brad, like, to me, like, stuff like the lower end stuff that I have, like, I have lower end stuff. Like, I can't put this above I Live in Fear. I can't put this above Bad Sleep Well, Dodescadent.
Oh, that's a classic.
Red Beard
is good.
Yeah. Shit, like, I can't, Brad, like, this literally goes under Sanjuro. I can't put this above, what's it called? I can't put this above Scandal. I mean, I can't put it above Scandal. I'm sorry. And I haven't rewatched Hidden Fortress, but like,
oh, Ron, you can't put it above Ron, especially.
No,
I mean,
yeah, well, like, I don't know, man. To me, I just, like I said, like, I think this is like, what's it called? A really interesting.
You put it with the Hidden Fortress.
The Hidden Fortress, I have Hidden Fortress as 3 stars, Brad. This, if you want to know stars wise, I give this 3.5, but what's it called? I haven't rewatched Hidden Fortress since the first year of the podcast, right?
That was one of the first ones.
So it's due a very necessary rewatch, which, you know, it is 4K in Japan, so I would like to wait for the day it fucking comes over here. But Scandal is like the only one that I have lower than this one. And even then, like, there's things that I really thought were interesting about Scandal.
Here's what it comes down to it. And, you know, we have this listing. We have these rankings, all these Kurosawa films. None of them are bad.
None of them are bad. I like all of them.
It's just what we prefer.
Yeah. Like, I like all of it. Like,
Kurosawa. Like, yeah. We have these directors. I mean, fucking Del Toro, Edward Yang. I mean, we got directors that don't miss. Yeah. Throughout their whole filmography. It's just, which one do you prefer?
Yeah.
Like, they're all good.
Like, dude, like, 14 out of the 21 films I've seen have a 4.5 or a 5-star, bro.
Yeah. Like, he don't miss.
Like, that's not easy, bro. Like,
I mean, there might be the one where it's like, you know, okay, sure. Kubrick. Yeah. Kubrick has the one.
Yeah.
And even Kubrick's like, I don't count that.
He's like, that's not my first movie.
No.
Killer's Kiss is my first movie.
Like, if you find that, that's on you.
Yeah. But like I said, I still liked it. And I did enjoy, like, the way that he, like, incorporates something. Because, you know, throughout this movie, you definitely feel like, okay, this is, Kurosawa loves this play. And he really wants to, like,
showcase. This is a good drama. Like, it's a good drama overall. And then the ending ends with the best line I think one of the best lines I've heard in his movies, and it's like, oh, he had to go ruin the party, bastard. Yeah. It just ends, and it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll give a point to that.
Yeah. All right, Brad, what's your final verdict?
What the hell have I ranked on the previous ones? I don't think I've gone lower than an 8.5 really on anything. Maybe Scandal. I can't remember. We've been doing this for 8 years. I can't fucking remember all of them. Yeah. I'm going with an 8 because I don't know. Sounds like an 8.
I'm coming in a little lower than you, Brad. Actually, like 0.5 lower than you. I'm giving this a 7.5.
Yeah.
Out of 10.
I mean, yeah. I'm not going to argue that because that seems about right. My 8 is his 7.5.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother's calling me. Fucking hell, man.
You're going to play Warzone.
Yeah. No, I'm coming good to Saw. With that said, that concludes our review of The Lower Depths. And of course, it's not the first one. It's not the last one, guys. This is just the first review we have for this month. We have a lot of cool reviews dropping this month. We're gonna do so many Kurosawa movies, and I'm so excited because I believe yes, we are doing The Idiot. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing The Idiot.
Forget if I chose that one or you chose that one.
You chose that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I chose his lost documentary about horses. Yeah. Yeah.
Why not? It'd probably be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, bro, you got a shout out to the Letterboxd community because I would have never known that this movie, what's it called, was available to download if it wasn't for the Letterboxd. Yeah. If only somebody would, what's it called, put that, what was the fucking movie? That first one he made. Not first one, but it's like his one propaganda movie.
That's what I want to kind of see is just his propaganda movie and just see, like, did they just strip everything from Kurosawa when they made him make that?
Those Who Make Tomorrow. Yeah. This was his one propaganda movie that they forced him to make in 46. Man, bro. Yeah. But it's so funny about this, Brad. It's like, bitches be uploading lost films to Letterboxd, and this holds me back from the 100% on Kurosawa's stats page. Yeah, so I'm going to say fuck it and mark it as watched. Yeah.
And someone's got something somewhere with it, right? It exists somewhere.
Yeah. Somebody even is justifying him, what's it called, logging it because he said, I've read as much as I could about this movie, so I'm technically already watched it. Anything, it's the denial for me, Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah. And then there's the one guy who's like, I saw it at the Tokyo Film Festival. Bullshit. I'm pretty sure you did it. Yeah.
Did you?
But did you though?
I'm questioning that. I'm just gonna leave it. Like we'll watch it if we can get our hands on it.
I doubt we will, Brad. I doubt it, man. Because it's not available, Brad.
I guess we gotta go to Japan.
Yeah.
So here themselves.
This says it was screened at the National Film Archive in Tokyo in August 2022, so it's not lost, and I was very excited to watch it. But did you do?
I mean, and you know, was it good?
Give it a 3.5.
Okay. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a Kurosawa. But how much of it really is a Kurosawa? Because is it a heartless Kurosawa? Yeah.
It's an odd and interesting film. The focus on how unionizing would make life better for everyone tells you a lot about the mood and optimism of the time, albeit maybe prescribed to some degree by American control of film production. There are some lovely scenes within the family where two daughters, one of them working at the film studio, the other one being a show dancer, basically win their dad over, who is first conflicted out of an old sense of loyalty to his company. Like I'm telling you, I think this is the propaganda. This is the propaganda film. Yeah.
Stacey says, now by Tokyo Film Festival, you mean Stills on Daily Motion.
Yeah. Yeah. Stills on Daily Motion. And there's just a guy explaining what the movie is, right?
Yeah. Just, I wrote about it.
Yeah. But I want this one, and I want like the almost 3-hour version of what's it called, The Idiot, that we don't have, because what's it called, it's lost. And
that's how many films has Kurosawa, how many films did Kurosawa make?
Yeah,
I'm surprised more aren't lost. We're lucky to have the Pooh trilogy.
But this was the, so yeah,
they can, okay, here's my beef. They can recreate the Pooh trilogy that's been in like a fucking fire.
Yep.
But they can't give me like cleaned up like Kurosawa films.
Yep. Oh man. But yeah, it's like, this was like one of the, yeah. So it was, yeah. Yeah. It was a committee made film to, what's it called, show the good things about, unionizing. And it was like, apparently it was like, what's it called? Like the American occupation wanted him to make it and whatnot. Okay.
So
right.
are you saying we need to show Starbucks that movie?
Probably, yeah, bro. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Oh, Brad. Well, with that said, you can go ahead and catch up with us on social media by following us at thenerdcore.com. That's our website, Twitter at @thenerdcore_, Instagram and Threads at @thenerdcore. And of course, TikTok is at the Nerdcore as well. And our Discord link is in the description below. Please, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and click the notification bell so you don't miss another review that drops on the channel. And of course, if you're listening to this on the audio side of things, make sure you leave a 5-star review, because that helps us out so much. And of course, we want to thank our patrons, because they make this possible. Without them, none of it happens. And of course, we would like to thank them all. They're great people. One of them is here literally talking with us, man.
Yeah, Stacy.
But Brad, we want to thank especially our executive producer, Shane. Where can they find him, Brad?
You can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at ThriftedIL, or go buy something from the Suppy God at PrisonCityVintage.com.
Yeah. With that said, Oh, so, dude, this guy wasn't lying. What's it called? Those Who Make Tomorrow was screened as part of a retrospective on actress Hideko Takamine at the National Museum of Modern Art in Tokyo in 2004. Nothing about 2022, though, but this has been shown. So it's not lost. They just don't want to fucking release
it. Yeah, Toho just being asses.
Toho with Toho, bro.
Toho being Toho.
Yeah. But with that said, Brad, we have a lot of Kurosawa to get through. We'll be back on Thursday for patrons and Saturday for the public. But without further ado, Brad, let's go ahead and get them out of here.
All right, our old theme being host as always. Thank you to Stacy for joining us in chat today. Thank you to everyone else who joins us in future chats. Thank you to our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, don't get involved with two sisters. Young Yoda out.